This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3903 for Wednesday, the 19th of July, 2023. Today's show is entitled, Why I Don't Love Systemd Yet. It is part of the series Information Underground. It is hosted by Deep Geek and is about 7 minutes long. It carries a clean flag. The summary is, Klaatu reads a script by Deep Geek about Systemd.
Hey everybody, this is Klaatu, but I'm not speaking as Klaatu today. I am speaking as Deep Geek. This is a script for an episode that Deep Geek sent to me and requested that I read more or less in his voice, except not literally in his voice. I don't do impressions. So here it is. This is him. This is Deep Geek, not me. Why I don't like Systemd yet. I've been meaning to put down my thoughts about Systemd for the HPR community for some while, so here goes. I want to say that I'm not a Systemd hater. When Systemd was a hot topic of debate, many became irrational over it. But I want to start by saying that I don't think it's a bad technology. I think it's a rather good technology. I just don't want it on my personal computer. So I'd like to run things down in this order. What is it, as in, what is it really? What makes it a good technology? Why I don't want it now, but might later? And a few tips for you if you decide that you don't want to use Systemd yourself. Systemd is not an init system. Systemd includes an init system. Systemd init was faster than sysv init, but Systemd init isn't the fastest init system, and sysv init now has a parallelization helper, at least on Debian. So, if systemd init is not systemd, then what is systemd? To understand this, we must first understand something about Linux. Linux operates under a model where there are root processes and there are user processes. These two kinds of processes are usually called layers. Systemd is actually a third layer. This can be called a system layer. So when systemd is added to a Linux system, that changes the system so that there are three layers: a root layer, a user layer, and a system layer. As such, you now ask systemd to set how the system runs. This is why systemd includes things like an init system, because if you want to change what the system is running, you ask systemd to change it. Systemd then messages an appropriate system to implement the change, like messaging its init system to bring up or bring down a system daemon. Once you play out this in your head a bit, you really realize that systemd acts more like a message passing system in a certain aspect. So, why do I say systemd is a good technology? Because this can standardize system control. Without systemd, a fleet of computers becomes like individual fingerprints or unique snowflakes. If you manage many computers, as many professional IT people do, you want them to all run the same, all have the same profiles and general configurations. So if you have a bunch of computers you are running, you can run a lot more if they are all running the same way. If your job requires you to run 10,000 web servers, you want them to run identically, because it is impossible to keep an understanding of 10,000 unique configurations in a human head. Systemd really shines in its support of virtualization as well. So to speak of servers, I used to run an email server for a few friends. Each of us had a user ID and number as Unix users. The mapping of Unix user IDs and postfix user IDs can get confusing when it gets really, really big. Thanks to Systemd's virtualization work, you can actually put a service like email into a namespace situation, so it has only the user's root and the daemon user ID, like postfix. So systemd greatly enhances security for server installations. This might help explain its dominance in Linux distributions that have been traditionally server-centric, like Debian and Red Hat. So why don't I want it? Well, I've been doing a lot of talking about professional computer work and corporate work environments. but I use a personal computer as a hobby. I've been out of industry for decades now, and when I say personal computer, I'm not talking about a hardware specification. Rather, I'm talking about this is my personal computer, where I do things my way, as opposed to my work computer, where I do things my company's way. Dear listener, please remember that I did the first community show contribution to HPR, and my topic was about personalization. For me, a hobbyist interested in operating system experimentation, I don't want a system layer. I want a traditional Unix-like system that operates on a two-layer model and does things my way, nobody else's way. So, what advice can I give to those who don't want systemd now? Well, recently I've left Debian. Debian, you see, supports init system diversity, but as you now know, dear listener, that is different than being without systemd. You may have heard that systemd is Linux specific. That is to say that it runs only on Linux, not anything like BSD or Windows. But what you might not know is that it is also GNU libc specific, which means that the C compiler must use GNU's libc standard library. Thus, if you have a system built around the Musl C standard library, like on Alpine or Void, or a system like Android that runs on the Bionic C standard library, you won't have a systemd system. I'm personally learning Void, as its package manager supports both binary and a ports collection, much like the BSDs. But that's what I'm doing on my personal computer. I leave you the freedom to do things your way on your personal computer. This has been Klaatu reading a script by DeepGeek. These have been DeepGeek's thoughts and words, not mine, although, frankly, I agree with everything he has said, except his use of Void Linux, of course. I'm a Slackware user, but the spirit, certainly, I agree with what he's saying about systemd, about layers of the system. I think that was really great insight. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.